Let me say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank our brothers, those, Brother Bailey and others, that have led us thus far in our worship service on this afternoon. I'm excited and thankful for your presence via the conference call to hear another portion of the Word of God. If you're visiting with us or have been invited on this call this afternoon, I would like to share with you some foundational things, one being that in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah realized when he said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Jeremiah realized when it came to spirituality that a man was not to direct himself. And so Jesus, when he gave the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, he prioritized spiritual life for an individual when he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So man was to seek first the kingdom of God. And then that opportunity took fruition in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. After Peter preached the first gospel sermon, the Bible says, when those that were added to the church in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, and the church being the kingdom of God, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Those that were saved had to be added to the church. And so this afternoon, I want to speak from the Word of God, the subject being entitled, "He that doeth the will of God abideth forever." John, in his letter to Christians, writes concerning how to live forever. And if you're a Christian, if you have a sound mind this afternoon, you should be interested, have as a priority, how is it, what is it that I must do in order to live forever with God? John makes that statement. And so let us look briefly at the scripture that was read. Thank for our young brother that was read in our hearing. And again, we've already dealt with verses 15 and 16, where John wrote, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world," John said, "the love of the Father is not in him." He said, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh we talked about, and the lust of the eyes we spoke about, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And then our verse tonight, this afternoon, excuse me, John said, he wanted them to know that the world passes away and the lust of the desires thereof. But here's my title: "He that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Question: can I be sure that I will live forever with God? Can I be sure when this life is over that I know I'm heaven bound? This afternoon, we're going to extract from the Bible moments in the life of the Apostle Paul that I would like you, as well as myself, to replace the apostle with yourself during those decision-making moments in Paul's life. I want you to put yourself in Paul's shoes. We say in Florida, we use the expression, have you walked in another man's moccasins? I want you to put yourself in Paul's shoes. And at the conclusion of this chronological look at your life, you can know with certainty whether you are going to heaven. We will read the Apostle Paul's statement regarding himself at the close of this look. Put yourself in Paul's shoes. Walk with me as we look at the life of Paul. And you ought to be able to know for sure whether heaven will be your home. Because John said, if you do the will of God, you will abide forever. Like some of us, the Apostle Paul inherited a religion. Look with me. It's Acts chapter 22 and verse number 3. Again, we're going to look at the life of Paul and see what Paul did and then have a conclusion. And so put yourself, I'm putting myself in Paul's walk. I'm making those decisions that Paul made. I have those challenges like Paul had. And I want to see my decision-making process as we look. Paul said in Acts 22, and the verse was number 3, Paul said, I am barely a man, which am a Jew. Paul identified his religion. He said, I'm a Jew. Born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the Father, and was zealous toward God as you all are this day. Like Paul, some of us may have followed the religion of our parents, whether it was right, whether it was wrong. I may have inherited being a Baptist. I may have inherited being a Catholic. I may have inherited being a Pentecostal. I may have inherited Seventh-day Adventist. I may have inherited AME. I simply received the religion that my parents raised me with. Paul said that. I'm a Jew. I was born in Tarsus, and I followed the religion of our fathers. Paul said that. And now, Paul also said, so I want us to see ourselves, that Paul was in a religion that was no longer in alignment with God. Christianity had come on the scene. Notice what Paul said in verse number 4, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. Like Paul, some of us may have even been against the Church of Christ. The word this way is talking about the way of Christianity. Yeah, and Paul said, that when he's talking about Christians or the Church of Christ, Paul said, I persecuted this way unto death, and I was trying to get people, both men and women, locked up in prison. And again, I said, like Paul, some of us may have even been against the Church of Christ before we were taught the truth as it pertains to the Bible. We may have been against the Church of Christ as Paul was, until somebody taught us the truth. And like Paul, someone had to introduce us to the Jesus of the Bible and what he commands. Notice I said, the Jesus of the Bible. Many of us grow up with a mindset of who we think and what we think Jesus is, who Christ is, and the life I can live and what I can do and can't do. But someone had to introduce us to the Jesus of the Bible. Notice in Acts chapter 9, as we look at Paul's conversion, and I want you to think about your conversion when you was converted to Christianity and line it up with Paul's life. In Acts chapter 9, in verse number 4, the Bible says, and as he, talking about Paul's journey, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And the pricks was that gourd that they would use when oxen kicked. It was hard for them to kick again because they would cut them. And so Jesus told Paul, it's hard to kick against the truth. And for some of us, when truth was presented to us, for some of us that are not members, it was hard for us to kick against that which was truthful. The Bible says in verse number 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul realized it was something that he had to do. You should have realized back then when someone was trying to teach you the truth, there was something that you had to do. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. There was something that Paul had to do. Notice Jesus said that you must do. And the Bible says, I want to share this with us as we look at Paul's conversion. Look at verse number 13. Yeah, all of us need to realize there's something that we must do. But in Acts 13, notice Ananias, whom God told Paul to go seek for a certain disciple in Damascus, verse 10, named Ananias. That's who the Lord sent him to. But notice Ananias now. I'm talking to those that are members of the Church of Christ. Right now, the Bible says, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And I want to say to us, as members of the Church of Christ, please don't prejudge anyone concerning whether they will obey the Lord. You don't have that power, that ability to know that. Ananias did not want to go to Paul because he had heard about Paul. Be careful, members of the Lord Church. When the opportunity comes to present truth to somebody, you don't prejudge that individual. You never know whether an individual will obey the Lord. Your responsibility is to simply do as God has commanded us to do, as I'll show you in the Word of God. And then in verse number 17, the Bible said, because the Lord told Ananias in verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way. And I'm saying to all of us in the Church of Christ, we need to start going. We need to start trying to find those individuals that may be seeking the Lord and stop judging that person, whether how they are. They may be worldly, they may be ungodly, they may be ungodly, but at one time the Bible tells us that we were the same way. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll start judging people. And Paul told us, notice this in Titus 3 and verse number 3. Let me tell us, those of us that are in the church. Paul said when he wrote to Titus in Titus 3:3, he said, for we ourselves, he included himself, also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Paul said, but after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man fear. Somebody had to teach you. And I'm saying to those of us in the lower church, be careful that you don't, you are not the vessel that the Lord wants you to be when it comes. Ananias did not want to go to Paul because he heard him. There are people that we know, that we see their walk, and their walk is not consistent. But there was one time you didn't walk the way you was walking. I didn't walk the way I was walking. But somebody had to teach us. And the Bible says in verse 17 regarding Paul's conversion, think about your own conversion. Who was the Ananias in your life? I know who was the Ananias in my life. Willie B. Williams was the Ananias in my life. When I went to Cashmere Gardens Church of Christ, Willie B. Williams was the Ananias for me. Who was your Ananias? You need to thank God for that person. Look at yourself. I'm looking at myself as we walk through this lesson this afternoon. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. And putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scaled, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Paul was converted. Now I want to say, as we walk through this, I want you to see yourself. For some of us, the scales of denominationalism was peeled from our eyes, that we were able to see the Church of Christ, the only church in the New Testament. Think about your life. Think about how you may have been deep in denominationalism, deep into it, but those scales was peeled off of your eyes that you could see. That's when Jesus said that you can't even see the kingdom of God in John chapter 3 and verse number 3. Jesus, though, sometimes people will tell you, say, I can't see. That's what Jesus said in John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's our responsibility, members of the Church of Christ, to help people see. And as Brother Brooks said this morning, it's not just those people that we're trying to get to see that come to our building once it's restored and we begin worshiping them. But we want people to see all around the country. You know, we got a donation this past week from someone in New York City, sent hundreds of dollars to Holland Heights because she was supporting the Nationwide gospel call. And so people from all across the country now, we've extended the borders of God's kingdom. It's not just that those that meet at 1005 West Little York in the Acres home area, but we have to have a mind that we expand the borders of God's kingdom wherever people may be. We want to evangelize wherever God allows us to go. We want scales to come off people's eyes that's in denominationalism so they can see the truth, they can arise as Paul, having been taught the word of God, and then be baptized. That's our responsibility according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verses number 3. That's all of our responsibility according to Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Note what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse is number 3. But if our gospel be hid, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if that is hid from people, it is, hid to them that are lost eternally. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world, talking about Satan or the devil, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, there are those who have, again, those denominational scales on their eyes. And what we want to do, their minds are blinded. But we want them to, Paul said, least the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves. I'm going to talk about this. You ought to be a servant for Jesus Christ. That's our role. And like Paul, someone had to teach you the gospel of Christ. Who is that Ananias in your life that taught you the gospel, that didn't give up on you, that was patient with you, and dealt with you being oppositional and rebellious, but the person taught you, and now you are a member of the Lord's church? Someone has to teach you. Our responsibility is to teach people the gospel. If not, they are lost. And so, how can I know I will be going to heaven one day? Well, let's go back to the text. John said, and the world, verse 17, passes away, and the lust thereof. But he, or she, that doeth the will of God, abideth forever. And the word doeth means, by definition, to express by one's action the thoughts and the feeling in the mind. Yeah, you have to express by action the thoughts of your mind. So what are some tenets or principles that God desire of the Christian? Because the will of God, it is the desire of God. Now, you need to know this, that when Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and the verse is number 4, Paul wrote to Timothy saying concerning God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. It is God's desire, that's the will of God, that all men will be saved. However, in order to be saved, that person must come into the knowledge of the truth. Let me talk some things about some tenets, some principles. To those of us that are members of the Church of Christ, how will you know whether you're on your way to heaven or not? Ephesians chapter 3. Let me give you some principles here. some principles that you'll know. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 4. Paul said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The word read means to know certainly or without a doubt. When you read something, you know it without a doubt. And the word understand means to grasp with the mind. So you have to grasp with your mind the certainty of that which you read. The Christian must read the Bible if one expects to go to heaven. The Christian must read the Bible if one expects to go to heaven. How can you know if you're going to heaven if you don't know what to do? I'm thinking I'm on my way to heaven. How do you know, how can I travel somewhere when I don't have a map that tells me how to get there? I need to have direction. Direction come from reading the Bible. You have to read the Bible. And then another tenet, a principle, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, how can I know if I'm going to heaven? Paul said this in 2 Timothy 2:15. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, study means to seriously and continually do this. So not only am I reading the Bible, but I'm serious about the word of God. And it's a continuous thing. I never graduate from my studies. But Paul said, you study to show yourself that you are being acceptable unto God. And he said, notice now, he said, you are a workman. That is, someone is to work as a servant of Christ in the church. Ask yourself, are you working? What are you doing in the church? Or am I one that simply comes to Sunday morning worship only, and I take communion, I give my offering, and I sing, and I leave? Is that all that I do? Ask yourself, are you a workman? Are you active in ministries in your community? Those of Highland Heights, you should be active in at least one ministry. You are supposed to be a workman, a workwoman. That's not a shame. That's not a shame. How much service are you giving to God? You want to know whether you're going to heaven? How much service are you giving? Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, and the verse is number 12. Paul in his letter to them said, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear or respect and reverence and trembling. In other words, trembling means to be affected. You are working. What? You are affected by the fact that I'm trying to make heaven my home. How active are you? Are you doing the will of God to live forever? Or am I one simply because of, we talked about, I don't want to go back into it, the affairs of this life, pleasures, cares, riches, chasing the dollar. Is that at the forefront of your life, or is working as a Christian? You should know whether you're going to heaven or not. Ought not be no question in your life, because John said, he that doeth the will of God will live forever. And then John said, we know Paul worked for the Lord. Paul did that. What God said do in Acts chapter 26. I want to show you what Paul did. God, he did the will of God. Acts 26 and verse number 15. The Bible says, and I said, Paul said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. Notice what God told him. See what Paul did. He said, but rise, stand upon thy feet. Acts 26:16. He said, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, for this reason, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And Paul said, whereupon, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. How often are you disobedient when you are asked to do something, or you, the Bible instructs you to do something? Are you disobedient to the will of God? That determines whether you are going to heaven or not. Paul said, I was not disobedient. I was not disobedient. And I'm going to tell you what Paul's conclusive statement. But now, I'm speaking to you and to me now. Notice what James said. We're talking about doing the will of God. In James chapter 1 and the verse is number 22. James said, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you are not a doer, notice John said, he that doeth the will of God. James said, be ye a doer of the word. How active, how much work are you doing in the kingdom? You have to work out your soul salvation. And so Paul, as he closed, and I think as Brother Brooks said this morning, we hadn't even discussed this scripture. And the same closing scripture he used this morning was my closing scripture regarding the Apostle Paul. Like Paul, we should be able to make this statement while we are living. If you are doing the will of God, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7, notice what Paul said. He said, I have fought a good fight. What Brother Brooks shared this morning, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew that according to history, he was headed toward Nero's chopping block to have his head chopped off. But Paul said in verses 7 and 8, for encouragement, I have fought a good fight. There is a battle that each of us have with the things that are of the world, not to love those things of the world. We have a fight also with the devil. But Paul said, I have finished my course. You know, we need to be able to know that we reach the end of our lives. The course is the race. When I get ready to cross the finish line of my life, Paul said, I have kept the faith. I kept it. I did the will of God. I kept it. If you have kept it, if you have done the will of God, Paul, notice the encouragement Paul gives to you and to me. Paul said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown or a prize of righteousness, which the Lord, who is the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. If you are living your life, and if it's not according to the will of God, make up in your mind today, right now, I'm going to repent and I'm going to do better. As we learn better, we are to do better. That's why it's so important that we read the Word of God on a daily basis, that we study the Word of God, that we work on our soul salvation. We are active in the church. We're not just coming down and for some of us starting mess in the church. That's sinful. Paul said, and not to me only, but unto, notice the word now, all them. All them. This crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to give him, Paul said, is not just for me. It's unto everybody that love his appearing. Paul said, I've done the will of God. I've lived my life according to the will of God. I know I got a crown of righteousness that the Lord is going to give me at that day. And I want to say, like Paul, we should know and should have done the will of God so that heaven will be our eternal home. Ask yourself, again, I wanted each of us to look at our lives as we look through the Word of God. How does it line up with Paul's life? Paul did what God, he did what God purposed him to do. Are you doing that in the Lord's kingdom? Our responsibility is to make all men see. You are saved. You are saved to save somebody else. That's the reason that you are saved, that you might save somebody. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. So I want to say to this afternoon as I close, what is the will of God according to Christ regarding receiving salvation? I want to use only statements in the plan of salvation this afternoon that Christ said. Christ gave the will of God for a person to be saved and to be able to make heaven his home. Number one, in Luke, and you can write these down to teach others. Some people say, well, what did Jesus say? Well, all of these are statements from Christ. And Luke 11, and the verse is number 28. The Bible says, he said, talking about Christ, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Number one, one must hear the word of God, and that word is the gospel. As I said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Secondly, according to John chapter 6, and the verse is number 29, that there first I must hear, Jesus said in John 6 and 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. So not only must I hear the word of God, the gospel, but I must believe on Christ whom God sent. And thirdly, Jesus said to all of us, in Luke 13 and verse number 3. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish or be lost. Jesus said, repentance is required by God. One must repent of all of their sins. Jesus said that. Except you repent, you're going to perish. And then fourthly, so I have to hear the word of God, especially the gospel. I have to believe that God sent his son. Then I must repent. And then fourthly, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32, Jesus said these words, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So our confession is about Christ, and we make that confession before men. Jesus said, if you do that, then I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And then finally, Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, Jesus gave the final act for one to be saved. After he said in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach, notice now, the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And so when one obeys the Lord, according to Romans 16 and 16, the Bible says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. When you obey Jesus, you'll receive salvation, and the Lord adds you to the only church in the Bible, the Church of Christ. You can know whether you're going to heaven or not, whether you have do it, the will of God, you abide forever. Thank you very much.